Some of the best advice I've got is you just got to be you.
On today's episode of the Rising Coaches Podcast, we're excited to welcome Mark Bielkowski, the Director of Basketball Operations at George Mason University. With over 15 years of experience in college basketball, Coach Bielkowski has played a crucial role in managing the behind-the-scenes operations that keep teams running at the highest level. From his previous roles at Georgia Southern, Charlotte, Maryland, and East Tennessee State, to his current role at George Mason. He's been an essential part of successful programs, handling everything from logistics and scheduling to team culture and program development. Today, we're going to dive into his journey into basketball operations, key skills needed to excel in the role, and his advice for young coaches and professionals looking to break into the industry of coaching. Please welcome to the podcast, Coach Mark Bielkowski. Dr. Dish Basketball is the official shooting machine of Rising Coaches. And this month only, you can unlock up to $4,000 off on their lineup of professional shooting machines. Just mention the Rising Coaches podcast to get even more exclusive discounts. Welcome back, coaches. Thanks for tuning in another episode of the Rising Coaches podcast. As always, Alan Major, Doug Caputo here today. We are joined today with the Director of Basketball Operations at George Mason, Coach Mark Bielkowski. Coach Bielkowski, welcome to the podcast. What's going on?
Thanks for having me. Pretty excited to kind of talk shop with you guys and looking forward to it. Absolutely.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Glad you could do this, brother. And hell of a season, by the way. Congrats again.
Thank you.
We're looking forward to, one, hearing your story, but two, being able to hear kind of the inner workings of how it was working with a said person as a head coach at some point. We'll get into that. We won't have to touch on that too soon. But first things first, true Rising Coaches fashion, bringing you back, wanting to pursue coaching. What made you get into the, this is what I want to do, and specifically made you want to be a manager, ultimately head manager at Georgia Southern, and kind of grow in the profession?
I can remember vividly the moment I knew I wanted to be a basketball coach and how to become a basketball coach. At the time, I had no idea, but I knew I'm in junior year in high school. I'm in geometry class. I'm sitting kind of all the way back right of the class. I think my best friend's behind me. And then I got my geometry book open, but inside of my book was the Athlon Sports College Basketball Guide. You guys remember that? Oh. That was like my Bible every year. And so I got it open inside my geometry book, so it looks like I'm focused on my geometry class, but instead I was reading the John Chaney's matchup zone defense, and I'm thinking to myself, man, what if I create my own matchup zone defense? Wait a minute, what if the ball is here and he goes here and he covers down, and all of a sudden 10 minutes later it looks like I'm doing geometry work, and unbeknown to me, of course, the teacher calls my name. And again, I got my own matchup zone defense. I got cover downs. I've got X outs. I'm 16 years old. And he says my name apparently again and again until my best friend behind me kind of smacks me to the side of the head and says, hey, man, pay attention. I look up and the whole class is looking at me. And at that moment, I said, you know what? I want to coach basketball. He asked me the question. I didn't know the answer, what it was, but I knew in that moment, you know, coaching was kind of what I wanted to do. Always play basketball. Basketball was my passion. I understood life afterwards. What can I do? How can I stay connected to the game? And I think that moment, vividly, I knew, you know what? I want to do my own matchup zone defense. I want to kind of move the X's a little bit myself.
It's funny. Yeah, there were some X's on the other board, too. Kind of the wrong kind of X's. Geometry has some different X's, but you kind of had your own X's going. But who nudged you, Mark? Was it a high school coach? Was it somebody that you worked alongside at Georgia Southern, maybe one of their assistants that was kind of an inspiration? Because we all have that moment where we kind of realize we want to do it, that section of our life. We kind of put a circle around when we knew we wanted to do it. But still, it helps when somebody sees it in you, too. You kind of start nudging you toward that as well.
I think the biggest thing is I didn't really know what coaching was at the moment. And so I get into college and I'm working at a Moe Southwest Grill, just trying to make ends meet. And I kind of identified the coaches at Georgia Southern. I kind of knew who they were, but again, I didn't know how to help. I didn't know anything. I was, believe it or not, one of the assistants, Tom Spencer, comes through the Moe's burrito line, and I'm making him the burrito. And I know who he is just because of I've identified. I know what I want to do. I don't know how to do it.
A little extra cheese for that guy, too. A little extra cheese, a few extra pieces of chicken.
So the register, I asked him, hey, like, I want to be involved. I love basketball. I don't know what to do. You know, here I am. Oh, by the way, it's 1292 is the total, sir. And, but so he does a great job. We talk a little bit. I come to his office. And again, no expectation, no idea what it means. I just know in the back of my mind, from an X and O perspective, hey, I got this matchup so defense I'm ready to do. But not understanding behind the scenes what goes beyond the effort, the work that kind of you need to do. And again, as we all know, the X and O is such a small portion of what coaching really is. And so he was fantastic for me. He kind of showed me the ropes. Again, he let me in and got a chance really for 3 years to work with Georgia Southern and Coach Price. We had Coach Dollar, Coach McCroy, all guys that I still talk to all the time. And so I'm thankful for allowing them to kind of allow me to kind of get inside that curtain for them.
And one of the best pieces of advice that I was given, at least for me in my young career, I was in a grad assistant role. I remember this very vividly, and I know she's going to get a smile when she hears this. My mom calls me and says, whenever you work with every coach, take a little piece from each coach, what you like, and then form yourself, right? And I know that's one piece of advice that a lot of people give on here. You take the good, you see what you like in them, and then you use that good to kind of form yourself, but then you take the bad, realize that you don't like that, form it in a different way. So for you, like these coaches that you've had a tremendous career. And as I mentioned, we'll touch on a little here too, but you've even worked with Coach Mage, right? I know you were his, you mentioned ultimately growing into a director of basketball operations with him. But just talk about the head coaches that you have had, the experience that you've learned, and what kind of formed your mindset right now as being a head coach someday.
Yeah, I think you hit on it. I think the biggest thing is, for me at least, is you're just trying to be a sponge. You're trying to put yourself in that situation, not just the head coach's situation, but it might be assistant coach. It might be how we're doing something scouting report wise. It might be something how we do things on the road, right? What are we doing logistically? So all little pieces you're trying to look at. I think most coaching philosophies, at least for me, are just your experiences, right? And so a lot of times an easy one to look at is, do you foul up three? What does my experiences say in those situations, what were the results? And that ultimately becomes kind of your philosophy a little bit. And so I think for me, at least, you're trying to put yourself in their situation. What would I do in this situation? Who would I play? Big lineup, small lineup, even off the court. How are you dealing with or managing players, maybe academics a little bit? And you know, how are you managing players' playing time and meeting with guys? And what's your message every time? And just trying to constantly put yourself in that situation. Ask yourself, is that how I would handle it? Do I like how they handled it? And then how would I would have done it? But understanding that I'm not them, and I've got my own personality. And I think at the end of the day, some of the best advice I've gotten is you just got to be you. And I think that's so important because these players, they're smart. They'll do it. It used to be back in the day, hey, I'll run through the brick wall for you. But now they're going to ask why. Why? How does that help me become a better basketball player? And so for me, being yourself is so important, but you're still trying to take pieces of what you learned through your experiences. And then just sharing those, right? And then being open with other guys on the staff as you communicate with them. And, hey, my experience, this happened. This is what we did. It was good. Or this is what we did, and it didn't quite work out. And so, again, not saying this is what we have to do, but here's my point of view because of my experiences.
Yeah, for sure. The thing that we say this a lot, and me and Doug sometimes, we might come off as, at least I do probably come off as get off my lawn guys, but winning still matters. And as guys try to develop their professional portfolio, for lack of a better phrase, or your experiences, it is important. And you have winning in your background, obviously being in Maryland, winning a Big Ten championship. So what did you take, or what do you feel that you brought from Maryland to Mason? Knowing, maybe not really knowing Coach Skin, or maybe knowing him very little, but what do you feel like, were there any kind of common things you said, man, if we can just become this every day, maybe this will help us move forward and get what we want here as well?
I think the big thing is you're trying to figure out, how do I impact winning? How can I help impact? Is it recruiting? Is it graphics? Is it on the court? What can I do to impact winning? I think the one thing that I try to be help and be an asset a little bit is Coach Skins. This was his first head coaching job. I just worked with Coach Oliver. That was his first head coaching job. And so now for me, it was back to back working for somebody. This is their first head coaching opportunity.
Very actually simple. Three out of four.
Right. Working with you, Coach. Yep. So I think some of that is just trying to mitigate, because year one sometimes goes in a blur and it's so fast. And there's so many different things that he's got to manage and delegate and help. And I just trying to be a resource, I think, is the biggest thing for me, especially helping with administration. You know, how can I be a conduit with administration and help communicate different things the right way so I can take things off your desk a little bit? I think for me and for us at Mason, I think that was the biggest asset. It's just kind of, how can I help be the in-between between administration and, all right, here's what we need to win and what we think we need, and here's what we're going to be able to get from them, and just trying to find that middle ground as much as I can. And then just, again, I think an operations role, you just got to communicate. We use this term a lot, like early, loud, often in ball screen coverage. I think as ops, you've got to be the same. Your text messages, your day-to-day logistics, to administration, to donors, to all that stuff. I think just trying to do that for him and for us the best I can.
But also having some video coordinator in your background too, from a game prep standpoint, like, what do you think? Because I don't know how you guys did it, if you had a coordinator, you rotated around different guys, coaches do it different ways, but what do you felt like your biggest strength was, or your biggest asset was, from a game prep standpoint? Because you actually got the Mason at a good time where they passed the rule where guys can get on the court and do some things. I've told you this before, and I mean it. You've always outperformed your title. And I think coaches need to hear that. Young guys need to hear that. Find a way to outperform your title. You've always done that. But from a game prep standpoint, like, what do you feel your biggest asset is in that department? Because I know you had a hand in that as well at Mason.
Yeah, that new rule was one of the big reasons why I took this job. The fact that I could be on the court. Coach Skinner did a tremendous job just in terms of allowing me to really be a coach, whether it's on the court, having my own scouts, but taking the time to be thorough in those scouts, and then on the court prep and different things. And I'm very thankful for Coach, because I really feel like he sees me as a basketball coach, not just as the title of director of operations. And with that video coordinator background, I cut my own film when it's my scout. I organize my own database when it's my scout. I lean on the video coordinator just in terms of, like, how long does it need to be? Second time do we play a team? Are we showing good or the bad? Are we showing both? And just trying to get a good feel of, because he's got a great feel of what Coach wants from that perspective. For me, in scouting, it's something I love to do, because as the answers are in the film, you just got to take the time to go find those answers. And just being understanding of situations and making sure you understand what they're trying to do, whether it's late clock, OB under, whether it's, again, end of game full court, or it's, hey, if we're going to switch this, what's they're going to be their counter? If we're small lineup to their big lineup, what may they do? And just trying to have all those answers ready, not just for a head coach, but for our staff. I think the one thing Coach Tony has really done a good job is staff chemistry. That's a big deal for us, because, you know, the players, they recognize if you aren't right, then all of a sudden that gives them an excuse not to be right. And so the one thing I'm really proud of as staff that we've done as assistant coaches is, one, we want each other's feedback, right? I'm going to go knock on every assistant coach's door and think, hey, here's an action I'm worried about in this lineup. I'm thinking about guarding it like this, but I want your thoughts. What do you think? You have something shell-wise that you've done in the past on this type of action that you've got, again, experience. We talked about experience a lot of times, kind of molds your philosophy a little bit. And so, you know, and then, you know, obviously you go back and forth, and believe it or not, over time in the last 2 years, all of a sudden you might say, hey, you know what? The team I'm scouting next, we run a similar action. So how about you and I figure out how we want to guard it? And then all of a sudden that might become a little bit of who we are a little bit. Then together, collectively, we bring it to Coach. And I think that's the one thing we really wanted to do. It wasn't the individual, hey, I want to do X and Y, but hey, Coach, we've talked as a staff. We feel strongly we want to guard something like this, or we feel strongly that this type of ball screen offense could work against their ball screen defense, and here are some of our reads within our short roles that we can look at as we go state to work. And so I think for me and for us, the word we was really big in our scouts. We really talked a lot of the staff, especially when you get into league play. And we're all kind of watching the other team anyways. And so you may identify some of that stuff. And so just getting everybody's feedback, I think, really allowed us to kind of be on the same page collectively. And then kudos to Coach Skeen, because that's he kind of led that charge for us. And we just kind of took notes and went with it.
Yeah, no, that you're right, man. Players are brilliant with that stuff. And their antennas can pick up if you're not practicing what you're preaching. Hey, we want you guys to stay together, play together, battle together, work hard, or cover for each other on D. But we're going to be territorial over here as a staff. Like, they feel that in a heartbeat. So clearly that led to, that can be the difference between 19 wins and 27.
Yeah, I agree.
For sure. Oh, yeah. The camaraderie and the experience you have on the floor of the locker room can change everything. And then I kind of want to touch on, too, so you, one thing that you said in all of that, and I absolutely love this, and I want to make sure to kind of shine some light on it, is you have roughly about 15 years of experience in the coaching in the industry. And one of the main things that you just said is you still ask questions and go to people for help. That's one of the biggest things. And I know people talk about it on here all the time, but that's one of the biggest things, is I feel like people get into a situation, they're doing their work, and they're like, no, I got to do this. I have to make sure this is done right. Maybe you don't know how that done right is, right? So at least for you, you're still even mentioned, you're going out, you're asking questions. That's, I think that says a lot, right? That could definitely teach some people a lot.
Yeah, I mean, for me, again, we talked back about being a sponge, not just learning from the head coach, but learning from others, your staff. And I'll take it one step further. Every job I've ever gotten in this profession, it's somebody that's worked with me that went to bat for me. And I think that just in itself speaks volumes, that those are the relationships that you got to lean on and have to have the trust with. Because again, I look at my coaching career, again, every position I've gotten, somebody that's worked with me has wanted to go to bat for me to help me get a position. And I think that to me speaks volumes. And I've always tried to think about, okay, how can I help, but how can I learn at the same time?
Yeah, no, those four words. We had a GA that I worked with at Texas when I was on the women's side. Kelby Jones was on here, and he was currently an assistant at Oklahoma State on the women's side. And they had a great year, finished in the top 25. But he said that on his pod, I don't know how many times, but he would just literally, as a young manager in GA, he would just go to each coach's office and ask those four words. How can I help? Because you're just finding ways and hunting ways to lighten the people above you, lighten their load. And so I always like to say, you serve up, it's great, serve up, collaborate across, give down.
Yeah. I would even say too, especially for young coaches, like, you're not on the road recruiting a lot of times. If you're in that grad assistant role, the video coordinator role, the manager role, any in-office role. So in terms of your connectivity, of your relationships outside of those of who you work for, they may not be as big or strong. And so what you need to rely on are those interrelationships within that own office, because the hopes is their relationships can be kind of become your relationships, because you're able to do a really good job for them. And again, they're willing to go to bat for you because of what you're able to help them with. And so I think early on, that was kind of my mindset. Like, I'm not on the road recruiting at a young age, so I'm not getting connected with AAU coaches and high school coaches at the time. But let me lean on the coaches that have done it before, that have already established relationships. So all of a sudden, when they can pick up that phone for me, all of a sudden it helps moving forward. I think that was a big lesson for me early on, which is really lean on the people within the office, because those are the ones that are going to help you long term.
So let's talk about the Dobo rule. So for those who don't know, I'm sure many people would, but Director of Basketball Operations, or Dobo. So I know you've had a plethora of your experiences have been in this role at different places. A lot of people hear Dobo and maybe don't even necessarily understand what that fully entails. I know there's so many different day-to-days, and it's always ever changing, but can you break down what a typical day looks like for you during the season? What are some main duties that you might do, and then some basic day-to-day activities that you had to?
Yeah, I think first off, kind of talking big picture with Dobo, everything outside of basketball kind of will fall on you, right? Whether that being day-to-day logistics, right? Where are guys' classes are going to be at? When's study hall? When's lift? Are you communicating these times out? Where are we practicing, right? Sometimes are we practicing the main gym? Are we practicing practice gym? And then just having everything around ready to go. So I think for me, again, talk a big picture first, the head coach steps on the floor. Does he have everything he needs, right? Is everything from equipment perspective all set for practice? Are guys on time? Do they have their practice gear? Is that all set? Does the clock work? Does the film work, right? There's all those little ancillary pieces, those small details, are they ready to go? So as coach steps on floor, we're fine, we're ready to go, and he's got his classroom and he's ready to teach. So I think that's big picture. I think it just in terms of you look at like individual things that, you know, you have to get accomplished. Obviously the buses, the hotels, the budget, the receipts, the recruiting information. Again, now with the NCAA rule, again, some are on the court like me. And so you're on the court, you're practice planning, you're thinking offense, defensive ideas, you're thinking different drills, but just having everything ancillary on the outside covered for coach. And that could be administration, that could be a coach's calendar, it could be media obligations, so many different things. And so I think the one thing, you know, I try to do is you've got to be able to delegate, because there's so much that kind of falls under this umbrella. And then again, as you delegate, you still got to communicate. And I think those are two really big pieces I try to my best ability, do every day.
And I kind of want to build off of that too. Like, what would you think are some of the, we'll say like day-to-day challenges? So now kind of going over what you fully do, that might be kind of a tougher, I don't know, but like, what are some of the biggest challenges you face in the position? Because I'm sure a lot of people, especially young people, this is going to be one of the first positions they get into, maybe a video coordinator position, if it's not a manager position. So like, this could be early on in their careers. So what are some big challenges that maybe a director of basketball operations might face? And then how would you handle those?
I would say big challenge first is there's so much going on, right? And there's so many things, almost like a juggler. You're juggling so many different things at once. And again, kind of breaking it down from the day to day is one, communication. Does everybody know where they're supposed to be, when they're supposed to be there? I think that's a number one. And it's everybody, right? It's the strength coach. It's the athletic trainer. It's your sports supervisor, right? It's your academic advisor. Are they all on the same page because of your ability to communicate with them? So I think that's number one. Again, I go more in depth with this from a day to day is I try to get there really early, because I try to do most of my op stuff before anybody walks in the door. And so again, we go back to how can I help? I can't help if I'm really busy. And so what I've tried to do is I try to get there before everybody just so I can knock a lot of operations. So now I'm handling receipts, right? Maybe it might be a bus receipt. It might be our training table receipts. It might be our recruiting receipts. I'm trying to knock those out of the way, or I might be communicating with the hotel that we're coming up with and make sure our rooming list is tight and they know our arrival time and our BEO is all set for when we're going to eat and the arena knows what time we're going to shoot around. And the bus driver knows the information, but all those really small details, I try to in the mornings tighten up just so I can make myself available for the staff as they start coming through that door.
No, you're right, because once the office starts buzzing, man, and if you're unprepared, you're just hanging onto the car bumper, hoping for the best. And that's not a good feeling as an ops guy to just hope for the best. Oh, yeah. But yeah, I think the reason why guys in your position become really good coaches, and there's three things that they learn how to do, and you have to do it in your role, is you have to be able to adapt, and you have to be able to adjust. And then you got to kind of accept it. Like, you can't spend 2 hours fighting something that changed on the schedule or changed 2 hours ago. If you're still wrestling with that, like, and you can't let it go, then it literally can crush your whole day.
Yeah. I tell our GAs all the time to say, hey, listen, like, a lot of the ops job is you're hoping other people, and sometimes other people are people you've never met, do their job so it looks like you're doing your job. And so I've always tell them, you cannot assume the bus driver knows where to be. You can assume that the hotel says they're ready, but you got to make sure they're ready to go and the room list is how you wanted to look at. And so I would try to tell them, you can't assume. You've got to over communicate, you got to over call. Your anxiety might be a little bit higher than most because of it, because you're relying on people you've never met, really. And honestly, especially when you travel, to be on top of their game, so it looks like you're on top of your game. And that's right. And to your point, like, you're going to get a lot of curveballs. You're going to get a lot of changeups. You're going to have to adapt. the plane might not work, the bus driver might be like, but to your point, coach, like, you got to adapt, you got to accept it, and then you got to look, all right, we know the problem is, now we just got to adjust and find the solution. And so what's the solution now that this problem has occurred?
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. No, well, that's a big deal, man.
I was going to say specifically, even say you order food and they don't show up with one or two subs, or what, say you order subs for everybody and they said, yeah, they're missing two, and you're sitting there and they're like, what the heck? You didn't get my food? It 100% looks like you didn't do it. Then you go back at the email, you see everybody's on there, and then you look like you're the one not doing your job. So exactly what you said, making sure everybody else is doing it, because you sometimes you just can't rely on it. You can, or at least you like to hope to.
So I'll give you a small tidbit. Because of that,
yeah,
we always order extra. And I tell our staff,
I learned that.
Yep. I tell our staff all the time, like, sometimes my name might have to be extra this order. That might be my name, my order, because something might have happened. I'll take the extra. Let's make sure everybody else gets what they need.
Yep.
That's right.
Or started doing that.
And be prepared to give up your own.
Yeah, that's my point. Hey, coach, yeah, you got it? It says extra. That's my middle name. I'll grab that one.
That's right. We're all set. Exactly. No doubt, man.
Especially like even email templates. That was one thing. Like, I started keeping email templates whenever you're sending emails out to hotels or you're sending them out to food or whatever. Keep email templates. I have every single email address, every single phone number of every single place that we've called in the last 3 years for food, just specifically to order food. So it's like being over organized. But are there anything, or is there anything that you utilize, we'll ask, from an organizational standpoint? Do you use any certain weird techniques that maybe you think are beneficial, keeping everything on an Excel document or anything like that?
So I'll say two things. One, being very organized in the computer, having your own folders, your travel folder, your scout folder, and your bus folder, all those things, so you know where to access your information quickly when you need to. But the biggest thing that helps me, this even helps me in scouting, helps me all the time, is when I write things down, for whatever reason, they tend to stick with me a little bit longer. And so we talked about getting in early before anybody gets there. I'm a to-do list guy, to the point that, like, I'll write something down when I've already done it just to get that check mark sometimes. But big picture, when I write things down, they tend to stick with me longer. And then what happens is I can go back to previous to-do lists and look at them. And then I start every morning with, all right, my last to-do list, what did I get done? What did I not get a chance to get done? Let me rewrite them down. Maybe something that might have been a C-list item, I haven't got a chance to really attack yet because it's been a few days, starts moving up to that A, B range of I've got to get this thing done soon. And so I think for me, writing down has really helped me. Even in scouting, I sit there before I watch a game, I write everything down, handwrite it down in my scout. Again, I think it sticks with me more, and it's really been beneficial for me.
Yeah. No, you're right, man. Never trust your own mind. I was an unbelievable legal pad guy for the longest time. And then I shifted to this electronic kind of notepad deal that I use now. That's awesome. But you're right. It definitely does stick with you. Basketball question. For someone that didn't see Mason play this year, maybe not real familiar with the program, give us maybe, without getting yourself fired, of course, maybe three staples offensively, two or three offensively, two or three defensively, that just give us, like, let's get under the hood of George Mason basketball just for a second.
I think first off, really good teams, they take the personality of their head coach. And I think it's the one thing that we really did a tremendous job of is we took Coach Skin's personality as a team. And so coach talks about Patriot pressure. That's our theme, our mindset. So for us, everything starts with defense. We set the tone with defense. And that might be our 2-2-1. And sometimes we go back to man. Sometimes we go back to zone. We really try to keep you kind of off rhythm. But everything starts with our defense, especially with our half-court defense. We really want to make sure that we're doing the right things defensively. So I think if you watch a basketball game with George Mason's personality as a head coach, defensive mindset, and again, and we all know this, defense is just multiple efforts. Right. And just having that capacity to have more than one effort of possession and then finishing a possession the right way. Right. Because a lot of times you're able to do that's going to generate the offense for you. And then the word that coach uses offensively, because, again, we're going to hold you accountable defensively. You're going to have your defensive responsibilities that You know, we're going to make sure you're doing right all the time because that's what we hang our hat with. But once we get that first time defensive stop, the word that coach uses all the time, he's going to give you autonomy, right? He's going to give you some freedom within the parameters of what we want to get accomplished offensively. And so now if I'm a guard playing for coach or I'm a big playing for coach, I'm not looking over my shoulder offensively. He's allowing me to get in rhythm, but he's holding me accountable defensively. And so now on the offensive side of things, I can play with a little more freedom, but again, I understand the perimeters. I understand our offensive triggers or what we're looking for in situations. But I know I'm not coming out with a bad shot. I know if I turn the ball over, I'm not hearing the horn as long as I'm holding up my responsibility defensively. And I think that's who we became this year. A great stat that I love to throw in there. After 34 games this year, we were number one in the country in field goal percentage defense, right? And so that's a stat that we really – as the year went on, we saw early on, hey, we're kind of top five, we're top 10, we're top three. Let's continue to zero in on this because we knew, one, that's kind of our calling card. That was more or less our identity as a team, was just us defensively and really getting after it. And so, again, I go back to Coach did a phenomenal job of, hey, we're going to hold you accountable on this side of the ball. You know what you're supposed to be doing. If you don't do it, you might hear the horn. But on the same flip side, you're able to do the right things defensively. Offensively, you're going to play with a little more freedom. As coach says, we're going to let you boogie at George Mason. That's his deal offensively. Now, the contract, the fine print underneath that is, you better guard for us.
Right. So
that's kind of our mantra a little bit. Hey, we'll let you boogie.
Right.
If you need that fine print, you better guard for us too.
Yeah. If we're going to let you boogie, you better know how to dance. Meaning, know who you are offensively as well.
Preach.
So, but if you're out there moonwalking and the song is country and western, then what the hell, man? Mm-hmm. You know, what's great about that though is, and sometimes this doesn't get talked about enough in coaching. It takes, that's an incredible defensive stat, by the way. It takes unbelievable unselfishness to be a great defensive team. But once you establish that, sharing the ball is not a shock to anybody because you've already established this unselfish mindset that we got to do it together and cover for each other on this other end. All of a sudden, a good to great or hockey assist, that stuff just kind of almost happens organically because, like, you've already established this foundation of being an unselfish team. So it's really hard to have an unselfish defensive team or high-level defensive defensive team like you guys have and then be pigs on offense.
Yeah.
Like, it's really hard to do because you just – it's that same mentality's got to carry itself to the other end of the floor.
Both sides. Absolutely. We had a great anchor in Jared Billups. He ended up being Defensive Player of the Year in the Atlantic 10. He was kind of our defensive anchor who kind of can guard 1 through 5 for us. So we really fed off his energy. And then again, we brought guys like KD Johnson off the bench, who's got over 200 steals in his college career. And all of a sudden, our guys started to identify early on that, hey, listen, we're not going to make shots every night. Like, we know this, but you've got to almost have to go through it. And we started the season 2-3. To be honest, we lost a double overtime game to East Carolina. We're up 4, our ball with a minute 14 left. We don't win. Central Michigan beats us at the buzzer. And so we kind of had, again, go through it a little bit to understand the importance of it. And once our guys figured out, hey, man, we're pretty good defensively, we're going to be in every game because of what we're doing defensively. We're going to give ourselves a chance. You know, it'll be nice to, hey, we may make some shots and things will go easy, but at least the defensive side of things gives us the opportunity to keep the game close. And we knew if we kept the game close, we had a chance, especially with Coach Skin at the helm and being able to dissect things, late game situations. It just, we kind of fed off that confidence all year.
Yeah, no, it's funny. Something that can make a difference between an extra 5, 6, 8 wins in a season is what you just said, is the ability to defend yourself or defend your way through droughts. Because you're going to have a 4-minute stretch where you make one field goal. You're going to have an 8-minute stretch where you go, you've only got a couple baskets. But being able to defend your way through droughts keeps the other team from getting away from you, and you don't end up digging yourself as deep a hole.
Yeah.
So by the time you fight your way out of that drought, maybe you're only down 8 as opposed to being down 16.
Yeah. And a big thing we talked about, too, when you're going through those droughts offensively, you can't allow your offensive woes, your offensive emotional capacity to impact your defensive attitude and your defensive effort. So those are things we talked about all the time, is just we can't let those things affect both sides of the basketball, because, hey, we're a defensive team. That's who we are. We know that. We can allow our emotions, bad play, bad shot, bad turnover, to impact, again, our attitude and our effort defensively.
That's the toughest thing to do, I feel like, because I really think a lot of kids solely feed off of their offense to incorporate into their defense. If they're 0 for 5 from shooting, they're probably not going to be playing very good defense. And not everybody, but I feel like that's just like a predominant, like kind of how a lot of people feed, is just solely off their offensive playing.
I think a lot of it to that point is, as coaches, sometimes you're coaching the reaction more than mistakes sometimes. And that, I think that's a big piece of it, is coaching that reaction, big picture, understanding that's a small portion of 80 possession play. That impact can allow that thing to snowball on us now. And so really, Coach and our staff did a great job of, let's early on coach the reaction, make sure they understand that this can't snowball. And that once the reaction got shifted and changed, now we can coach the mistake a little bit better.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Game happens too fast. So you're right. And stuff can snowball, becomes an avalanche in a 4-minute stretch. But what you just said, Doug, is why it's so hard. That's why not everybody wins 27 games. Mm-hmm. Because of that easy, that's the easy way out. We turned it over, we drop our guard, dunk. We missed 4 shots in a row, body language changes, give up an 8-0 run. So being able to do the stuff that's uncommon, that's why winning is hard. And that's why winning championships, which winning a conference championship, it bothers me that people talk about that so loosely, because that's how hard it is. And Mark Doug's an assistant at Chatham in Pennsylvania. They just did it. So you guys just, you know how hard it is, just that game in and game out.
Oh, yeah. Continuous focus is the toughest thing. Just every single day, like, there's more than enough days guys were getting reamed out. But it's just rightfully. Coach, one last thing, just kind of wanted to tie it all up and just bring it to the final question. Typically what we like to do is, again, how we started it, we bring you back to your first official position. So going back to when you were with Georgia Southern, or you can even say when you were with Charlotte, whatever you feel. But when you were a young coach back in your first coaching positions, knowing what you know now, is there any advice that you would share with your younger self starting in this profession, and what would that advice be?
Good question. I think for me, as I look back, okay, how would I have done things differently? I think for me, and maybe for a lot of young guys, is, at least, again, I'm talking to myself a little bit, you tend to get really into, man, I want to be a Division I coach, D1. Everything's D1. I want that Final Four logo on my chest to say something as I walk through that hotel lobby, right? Like, you just kind of quietly think that a little bit. So I think I would tell myself, like, if you truly love coaching, and again, coaching is just relationship navigation. Like, basketball is just kind of the conduit in which you tie everything together. Because really, as coaches, we really want the relationship with these kids, and that's really why we do it. The coach, regardless of level. And so don't ever look at a position because of a level. Especially early on in your career, when you have an opportunity not to have a family or a wife, and you can kind of have that chance to move and go from place to place a little bit. I would really, if I tell myself again, hey, look at the Division II, look at Division III, look at NIIA, because at the end of the day, you're coaching basketball. That's what you say you really want to do. Then go do it, and don't be tied up in, whoa, I got to be here at this time in my career. I got to be doing this. And I'll be honest, I have to sit down and look in the mirror myself and say, hey, man, relax. You're in your own journey. You're running your own race, but you got to understand the journey is really the success. It isn't the destination, which is the success. It's the journey. And so I would just tell myself, if I did it again, hey, look at everything. Because if you really want to coach, get on the floor, have that sweat equity with the players early on, get on the road and recruit regardless of level, regardless of who you're recruiting. Because again, I love relationships, whether it's coaching relationships, player relationships, administration. To me, I feed off of that. And again, don't worry about what this says in those 4 or 5 days into the Final Four, right? Worry about, are you happy coaching? And are you more importantly, happy with who you work for and with? I think those for me are the biggest things. And then understand the journey is the success. Like the fact that you're in this profession that's so hard to get into. We know it's a watered down market. We know there's because of television, so many people want to do it. They want to be seen. They want the IG pictures. But if you truly want to coach because you enjoy coaching and you're competitive, like I think part of for me is I love to coach because I'm competitive and, you know, that ops guy's not better than me. And this scout's, I'm going to outbeat that scout and this scout report. I'm going to think of something that hasn't been done. And we're going to invert these matchups. And we're going to do this. And you got that competitiveness about you. If you really care about relationships, you really want to coach, don't get tied up. Well, he's here and I got to be here at this certain point, or I got to be D1, or I got to do this. I think just be around really good people, enjoy relationships, and just find a place where you're happy, where you get a chance to do what you love.
You know what? The Final Four is literally going on as we speak, but by the time this drops, guys will need to hear that again. So this is actually in the 5 or 6 weeks later, whenever this thing drops, it's going to be a good reminder for everybody that's in San Antonio right now going through what you just said, because it can be brutal. You're walking through that convention center or your hotel or just up and down the streets. And this thing right there, the logo size up game it's real.
I would tell you, I've been mobile times when I had no logo when you're right. Walking around. And so just,
yeah, I call that working for FAU, Free Agent University.
Yep.
That's what that is.
So I think that's it. I think for me, at least, just find success in the journey. I think not the destination. I think that's what I've really tried. And again, I've got to convince myself because I'm not better than everybody else. I think the same thing. And so I've got to sit down every once in a while and just appreciate the journey, appreciate where you are, understand it's not hard to be where you are. Like, it's difficult. There's so many people that would trade places with you in a heartbeat, and just understanding that I think is so important.
Listen, man, love you like a brother. Not the least bit shocked at the success you've had. I was lucky enough to see it early on. Nothing that you've done has shocked me one bit. So you're just getting started, in my opinion. Like I said, it's really been cool just to watch you grow as a coach, a person, a husband, a father, a whole nine yards. I've had a great view from the bleachers on your journey, man. Before Doug lands a plane, you hang out a little bit when we close it, but just want to let you know that. And again, congrats on an unbelievable season, 27 wins, unbelievably hard to do. And Coach Skin just got an extension recently, so people know that as well. A little security is never a bad thing in this day and age, knowing full well that every year is year one now, with the mentality you almost have to have. But appreciate you, brother. This was awesome.
Good. No, I really enjoyed being on here and really enjoyed watching these different podcasts through the time. And again, just back to our original point, what can I learn differently? What can I apply to my everyday? This podcast has been beneficial for me, and I really enjoyed being on it. And thank you for allowing that to happen. Okay. Can I get selfish real quick? Just a selfish real quick. Behind me is a guitar, right? And so I'm going to say this selfishly a little bit. So in this profession, you've got to find different ways, because again, like you are go all the time. We're in portal season. And so I don't read a ton of books, but I'm not very good at it, but I really enjoy playing it, because in basketball, you either win or you lose. You either make the shot or you miss the shot. The play either worked or it didn't work. And so for me personally, have found a lot of joy in finding a hobby outside of basketball that allows me to kind of focus back in. Again, not good at it, but I really love playing it, and I really love what it's done for me mentally, because again, this profession can a little bit in terms of the time away. We get a visit. We had 5 visits in 4 days, and you're 7 a.m. to 10 o'clock at night, and so it allows me to kind of step away a little bit. And so again, just a little selfish plug for myself, but I do, in all intentionality, find something outside and don't allow your career to be defined about where you are and who you are. Like, you're more than just a basketball coach. You're more than just whatever position, whatever title you are, whatever that logo says. You're more than that. And make sure you're still finding other avenues and other hobbies as you grow in this business. I think it's so important.
Beauty of it is, if no one can hear it, it sounds pretty damn good.
Absolutely.
So that's the great part about it. If it's a concert, it's a different story. But if it's you and that thing, it's like people that sing in the shower. You can be a you can win an award being an award-winning singer in the shower if nobody the hell else is around.
But yeah, you're good. Say you're Slash. Yeah, nobody will have any idea.
That's it. That's it. But no, that's a great cap on this thing, man, because this profession can do that if you're not careful. So you got to find your something else, whatever that something else is. But great stuff, my friend.
Coach Bielkowski, thank you very much for being on here. And as we said, we appreciate you for sharing your story. Best of luck in the coming years to George Mason as well as yourself. Looking forward to being able to watch you guys. And everybody, that does it for another episode of the Rising Coaches Podcast. Again, Alan Major, Doug Caputo, keep working and keep rising, coaches. Take care, everybody.
Dr. Dish Basketball is revolutionizing basketball training with the number one selling shooting machine in the world. Our innovative systems are the only training solutions that deliver more reps, motivation, and fun, empowering coaches and players to elevate their game faster than ever before. Featuring advanced analytics, immersive game-like features, and an easy-to-use interface, our state-of-the-art shooting machines are the preferred choice for progressive teams worldwide.
I want to thank all our listeners for tuning in with us this episode. If you are not a member, want more content, or even be a potential member on our member spotlight to have your story heard, go visit risingcoaches.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and X at Rising Coaches. And don't forget to subscribe, leave a rating, and review so we can continue to keep rising together.